Well, good evening. It may be at morn when the sun is awaking, when darkness and shadows are breaking, something like that, we sang. And this evening, I would like to speak on our hope.
Amen.
Our hope is in the soon appearing of the Lord. We're going to look at some scriptures and meditate on that very thing. Not so much the doctrine. We understand the doctrine of the rapture of the church. And we believe that. It's silly to think that the church is going to be going through the tribulation period when the wrath of the Lamb is poured out on the world and the body is left here. Impossible. The wrath of God, the wrath of the Lamb will not be poured out on his bride, on his body. The body will be removed. And so that's our hope. Great hope is the Lord's return for us. He's going to come. He's going to come visibly. He's going to be manifested to the world. But he's going to come, first of all, for his own, secretly, rapidly, skyward will be our destiny. is it something new in scripture? You know, there was a man, the seventh from Adam was raptured. His name was Enoch. Remember? He walked with God. And he was not, because God took him. So embedded in the human consciousness, in human history, there was a man, a prophet himself, who was taken and raptured into heaven. So we have a predecessor. We have the way that is made as an example for us. One of the titles of the Lord Jesus is the Morning Star.
Amen.
Now, you know, living in the city, we don't get an opportunity to see the stars the way they do in the countryside. And one of the delights of going to the Bahamas is that there are no street lights for miles and miles and miles. There's a few in Tarpon Bay, which is about 4 miles away. But they hardly make a very glow on the horizon, hardly anything. So the skies are unobstructed by the light. And all the time that we were in the Bahamas, there, as the sun went down, was Venus, the evening star. That's Venus in its evening dress, as I put it, I like to put it. But its phase in the evening. Now, 6 months from now, it'll be in its morning phase. And so before you even get a glow of the sun in the early morning, when it's still dark, Venus, the brightest light in the heavens next to the moon, begins to rise above the horizon. And still, there's no sunshine or no glow of the coming sun yet when Venus rises. But as soon as you see Venus, you know that the sun is going to follow. And so we have the morning star as a beautiful picture of us, for us, of the Lord Jesus. He says, I am the root and the offspring of Jesse. Yes, he's coming to fulfill all the promises made to Israel and sit upon David's throne. But he is the morning star to his church, to his own. So he's going to come before the sun rises with healing in its wings, like we talk about in what Malachi talks about, the coming of the Lord in power and glory when the day of God comes. Before that happens, before there's even a glow on the horizon, the morning star rises. So that's our picture that we keep in our mind. Now, I have 6 points. This is just an introduction, folks. I have 6 points, and they say a good preacher only has three, but doubling them up means I've crossed the border somewhere along the line, and I will confess that if you lose patience with me and go to sleep after the third, I won't blame you a bit. He's known, this hope that we have of the Lord's return is known as the blessed hope.
Amen.
We have also a sure hope. We have a comforting hope. We have a glorious hope. We have it's a purifying hope. And lastly, it's an imminent hope. These are all from the scriptures as we look at them one by one. First of all, Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Titus 2, Verse 13. And reading from verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Looking for, living for and looking for, living soberly, righteously and so on in this present world, looking for the blessed hope that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, those blessings, we know that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. We know that. Every spiritual blessing. But we don't occupy those blessings the way we should. Sometimes we're not even sure what those blessings are. But one thing is guaranteed. When the Lord Jesus appears, all those blessings will be instantly ours. It'll be a fulfillment, a completion of what God is already doing in our lives today. Secondly, it's a sure hope. John chapter 14. The disciples have been following the Lord Jesus for three and a half years. Since he called them to be fishers of men, to announce the kingdom. They were often found arguing who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom. And their hope was that they would find some place in that kingdom. And they were looking for the kingdom. But now, he leads them up to Jerusalem, and it's the last days, and from the time that he had entered Jerusalem until the time he was crucified, he was cross-examined and looked at by the authorities there, and there was great fear now, mounting fear among the disciples about what was going to take place, because it was rumored that they were trying to kill him. And if they tried to kill him, they probably put a price on the heads of the disciples as well. And so they were not feeling very secure. They were Galileans. They weren't Judeans. They weren't from Jerusalem. And so they were far from home, far from their safety. And now the Lord announces that he's going away. But he says to them in verse 1 of chapter 14, don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you might be also. I will come again. It's a sure hope. We have the promise of the second person of the Trinity, the one through whom the worlds were made and who the same worlds are sustained. The entire universe owes its existence to the one who said, I will come again and receive you to myself. That where I am, I'm going away, but where I am going to, I'll bring you there, and you'll forever be with the Lord. It's a sure hope. It's also this hope that is so sure that while we wait, it's a comforting hope. It's a comfort to us that he's going to come. That the trials that we are going through today are someday going to be cut short. That there's going to be an end of suffering and sorrow and death when our Lord comes. We're, as he said, we shall always be with him. Out of touch of all the difficulties and the trials, the challenges of life, and all the assorted problems that we have in this life, will be out there. We, out of this world of suffering and death. And not only the world, but it'll be the end of me. It'll be the end of you. I like what George Fair says, and I wrote it down in my Bible. George, he's going to be here next week. I'm going to thank him personally. I wrote down a little quote when he was preaching here one time, and he said this, very simple. There's nothing in my life that the rapture won't fix.
Amen.
Nothing in my life right now, the problems that I see, the difficulties, the weakness, the sin, there's nothing in my life or yours that the rapture isn't going to immediately fix. Isn't that a comfort?
Amen.
That's a comfort. That our home in heaven, our destiny, is not dependent upon ourselves. It's dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ, who will change us. Fourthly, it's a glorious hope. Titus chapter 2. Again, Titus chapter 2, and verse 13. We emphasize the first part of that verse, looking for the blessed hope, and he says, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a glorious hope. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And verse 21. Verse 20 for our connection. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which, out of heaven, we also eagerly wait for the Savior. Looking for that blessed hope. Eagerly waiting, another way of putting it. Who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. There's going to be a change. A transformation is going to take place at the rapture. Old things, indeed, will have passed away. All things are made new. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be transfigured, transformed, changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. And lastly on this, 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now we're the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. He's going to do, it's a glorious, the glorious hope that we have. Is we're going to be changed into the likeness of his glory, whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. He's able to do that. That's a promise, that we will have glorified bodies. This mortal is going to put on immortality. This weak body is going to put on strength and power. The old sinful man will be like the glorious one himself, our Lord Jesus Christ. The psalmist, David, had some profound, a profound inspiration. Whether he really understood all that he wrote down at times, I'm not sure. But turn with me to a statement that he makes in Psalm chapter 17. There are intimations throughout Scripture of this. Even Job in chapter 19, 25 said, I know that my Redeemer lives and on the earth someday will stand, and I, with these eyes of mine, I'm going to see him. See, he had an idea of that. That God himself would appear somehow, some way, through the seed of the woman that truth was implanted into the minds and hearts of God's people from the beginning of time. And the Holy Spirit only expands it through the Scripture. Now we come to Psalm chapter 17, and David says, as for me, he says, oh, he says that the wicked in the previous chapters, they're satisfied with what's going on in this world. They're satisfied with the worldly things, the temporary things. But as for me, verse 15, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. He had a vision of just what we're talking about tonight. Well, the calling of the saints that are going to be changed into his image the moment they see him as he is. Fifthly, it's a purifying hope. 1 John chapter 3 again. And the practical injunction that John gives us when he talks about the glories of the Lord Jesus and will be changed into that image. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 3. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. There is a responsibility, is there not? This hope. Now, one thing about the coming of the Lord if you really think about it, if he's going to come, what will we be doing when he does come? What's going to be occupying our minds when we're suddenly changed into his image? If our hearts are not pure, will that mean loss of reward? I would think it would. Would it be a little bit of embarrassment, perhaps momentary, but yes. But he says, everyone who has this hope in them purifies himself. Now the Holy Spirit is doing that, his sanctifying work at all the time. But we need to lend our strength and yield to the work that the Holy Spirit wants to do within us. And that is what we do. We can't purify ourselves in our own strength, but we can assist the Holy Spirit by yielding to his desire for us that we purify everything, cleanse everything out of our lives that might be displeasing to the Lord if he should suddenly appear. It's a purifying hope. Lastly, it's an imminent hope. Imminent. Maybe ESL students might need to work a little help with this word, imminent. Imminent in English, it's a singular word that means it could happen at any instant. In other words, there's nothing to impede the event from happening, nothing to stop this event from happening. There's no prophecy of Scripture that needs to be fulfilled. There's no event in the political or economic or any other way event of earth that needs to be fulfilled before he comes. It's imminent. The Hebrews, the writer to the Hebrews, wrote in chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And verse 37. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. He's quoting the prophet Habakkuk, but the Holy Spirit here uses this quote from Habakkuk differently than Habakkuk originally meant it. He meant it, the coming of the Lord to the earth for the Jew. But here the Spirit of God reinterprets it and speaks of the one who is going to come for his church. He, a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Tarry, that's a nice old English word, very quaint word, meaning he's not going to be slack. He's not going to wait any longer. The waiting period is finished. That's imminent at any moment. He will not tarry. The Holy Spirit closes our scripture by an invitation. An invitation that the Spirit and the bride say, come, come, come. Because the chapter of human history, as far as the church is concerned, is going to close very quickly. And the last sentence in our Bible, appeal, you might say, in the Bible is this, verse 20 of chapter 22. He who testifies to these things, that is our Lord Jesus Christ, he's the one who's testifying to these things. Verse 12, he says, behold, I'm coming quickly and my reward's with me. But then it says in verse 20, he, that is Christ, who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. And then there's a benediction, which you'd expect in the closing. But the last word to us is, I am coming quickly. We are creatures of time. He is not. We, though we're bound by time, I wear a wristwatch, and many of you have your time on your phones, and we look at the clock quite frequently, but we should live in the light of eternity. We can do that because we have the eternal spirit indwelling us. Surely I come quickly. It may be at morn, it may be at noon, it may be past midnight when we're sleeping, while we're waking, we're having breakfast, driving home tonight, the Lord is coming. A blessed hope. May it have an impact, really, on your life and mine. We have a blessed hope. It's a sure hope. He promised personally. It's a comforting hope. We can let go of everything, man. No more struggles. It's a glorious hope. We'll be like him in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. It's a purifying hope. We should purify ourselves. And it's an imminent hope. Could happen anytime. May the Lord encourage each of us as we consider the scriptures concerning our Lord's return. Our Father, we thank you again that you have revealed these things to us very plainly in the scriptures. We're in no doubt that Jesus is going to come and receive us to himself, that where he is, there we might be also, in your house of many mansions, and we'll be home, home for the first time in all our lives, a place that we can call home. We thank you, O God, our Father, for your blessings to us. And we thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.